Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank you for the special time that we've had this morning, being able to come and just simply worship you. And if that's all we did, that would be the best thing out. We thank you that it's so good to come and adore you in prayer and in praise, and to be together to do that, to sing together, to sing to one another songs and hymns and praises to you. And we thank you that we do this willingly and gladly because, Lord, most of us, we've come into that personal relationship with you. And we know that you are so adorable. And as we saw in that first song, you are beautiful beyond description. It's our joy to love you, to thank you, to appreciate how awesome you are, and to think that you're with us here today. And thank you, Father, for your word. Just ask that you would minister to us through your word. Help us to be able to take in, to listen to you, and to be able to put into practice the things we read. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, during my primary school years, I grew up in the country town of Corrigan. And I remember a great place to grow up. And the thing I want to share with you about growing up in Corrigan was how my classmates, they always wanted to come to my birthday parties. All right? So when it came to the start of August, they would ask me, "Ian, are you having a birthday party?" And I go, "Yep." And then they'd say, can we come along? Can I be invited?" "Yeah, you sure can." And I quickly realised after a few of these birthday parties that they weren't really coming because of my birthday. They were coming because of the good food that my mum cooked. And they would praise her for the good food, like the homemade sausage rolls and the double-layered sponge cake and all these biscuits and the fairy bread on the softest white bread. They could not believe the food that my mum would provide. And so they would praise her, and that's why they came along to the birthday parties. Man, that's a bit of a letdown. But anyway, I mean, in terms of not coming for me. But anyway, that's fine. But as I think about my mum, I know my mum was a great cook, but I got to say to you that my mum was an amazing mum, especially looking after two scallywags called John and Ian, because back then we were pretty full of adventure and all sorts of things we were up to. And Mum was very patient, and she loved us and instructed us very patiently, and she cared for us very much. And I tell her that, and it's really good to say that, isn't it? And I also know that at a young age, my mum instilled into me the reality of our God, that there is a God, and she would encourage us to pursue Him in our relationship with Him, even though that never happened for me personally till I was 18 years of age. And I remember my mum's favourite hymn, never forgot that. My mum's favourite hymn was, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And that never lost me. I thought, man, mum's favourite hymn is that, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." So I understood at a young age, Jesus is someone very special. There's something about Jesus that I would one day find out. He's the key. Yeah. So as I think about these things, I just am so very thankful for how we grew up in a home where we had very little, but we had everything by having a good mum and a good dad, which we are to be so thankful for. And on this Lord's Day, when we come to worship our great God, it is also Mother's Day. And I thought it would be lovely to spend some time looking at motherhood, and especially from the Bible, and to look at something that God highly values and esteems, motherhood. And there's many passages in the Bible that we could look at. I'm so glad, Bob, you mentioned Mary. Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus, is a beautiful model to look at. I've done that before. This year, I would like us to look at Proverbs 31. So please, would you turn with me to Proverbs 31? And we're going to be looking at this, this woman that's mentioned in Proverbs 31. She lives such a good and godly life that the response of her children and her husband is found in Proverbs 31 verse 28. Her children raises her. Who is this blessed and praised one? That's who we should be looking at this morning. Who is this one? Well, we're going to look into this passage and we're going to find out the key qualities of a woman who will be blessed and raised. And I would encourage every man that you would, we would be people who encourage the women in our life, our children, our wife, that we would be those who pray and praise our females in our life. Amen to that. So let's have a look at the verses 10 to 12, going back to Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 12. Okay, let's read this. So it says, in my translation, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Well, what a statement to begin with, eh? So when I look at that, I want to say to you all, when I look at this, I can't help but see how the first thing I notice here, the woman mentioned here, we don't know if she's a mother to start with. It just says an excellent wife. So some wives are not privileged to have children. And this is speaking to women in general, and especially a married woman. And it says here that this woman described here is a woman who, I want to put it like this to you, supports her husband. Supports her husband. Why do I say that? Well, verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her. She can be trusted and depended on. And he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's a person who supports her husband. And that's a beautiful thing to see, especially in the days that we live in. To me, it goes right back to before the fall in Genesis 3, way back to when God established things, when God made a man, and then he made a woman after the man. And we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, those great words. The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. They're golden words. They are the words of our God. This is the role of a woman. A woman is to be a helpmate, a support, the strength of a husband. That's how it's meant to be. And that's what God says. And that's what we see here in Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 12. But you know, it starts off by saying, in my translation, it's got this, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. What is the proverb writer saying here? He's saying that such a person who supports her husband, who does him good and not evil, who is able to be trusted, is a rare find. It was back then, in Solomon's day. How much more in the days we live in? Do you understand that? We live in a society that's toxic to the Christian faith. We live in a society where a woman is encouraged not to support her husband, but to get him to support her. Where women are encouraged to be self-indulgent and self-reliant and self-this and self-that. And I've got to tell you, I appeal to every woman here. If you are a lover of Jesus, then follow him. Follow what he says. Follow what his word says. That you might bring glory to his name and honor to Christ. That you might be a person who is a blessing to the family. And so I encourage you to live out this pattern where it says about serving. And you know, even though I want to look at motherhood this morning, and even though these opening words in verses 10 to 12 aren't really speaking about motherhood, they have everything to do with motherhood. Because the woman who supports her husband gives the most important model and pattern to her children than you can ever believe. She is teaching her children that you are to be supporting others, not exploiting others. And that's what we're growing up with, in a world where people are exploited all the time. But if a godly woman lives this life, she'll be teaching her children the most important lesson of all. You are to be supporting others, just like our God, who supports us. There's a great verse on that, about our God. It's in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, in verses 16 and 17. It says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. And the Greek word for strengthen is the same word for support. God will give you comfort and support. What a God. What a God. A God of great support. Well, let's now consider the next section. We've looked at the excellent wife. Now we're going to look at verses 13 to 22. So let's read this. It goes on to speak about this lady. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers her field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes covering for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Wow! Now we've just read in verses 10 to 12 about an excellent wife. Now I want to say that this woman I read here is an extraordinary woman. Man, do you see how busy she is? Like what she's up to? What do you reckon? Now I want to give something very important here. These words here are not to load upon the women in our fellowship a whole lot of things that you are to do so that you feel like breaking. Why do I say that? Verse 27. Let me read that to you now. Verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So that's what it's guarding against. It's guarding against a woman who lives an idle life. What this is encouraging is don't be idle, but be active. But above that, even more important than all that, this section is speaking to us about how a woman is meant to be servant-hearted. Look how she lives her life. She does not live her life for herself. She does not live her life to please herself. She doesn't sit like a queen having everybody serve her. She's the one who serves. What a beautiful heart it is to God to have a woman who loves to serve her children, to serve her husband, to serve even, it says there, the poor and the needy in her community. And she's so active, isn't she? It says here she's not just working with her hands to provide for her household, she's even got jobs on the side doing things to support the family. She's a working mother, a working woman. There it is in Proverbs 31. But it's not all about career, is it? You can tell that. It's not all about earning money. It's not all about the life outside the family. She's so involved in her own family. She loves her family and does so much. You know, when I think of these things, I can't help but think of my mum, who I believed was a wonderful servant to us. And I just think of how mum served us. The way we were quite poor and mum would make our clothes so that we were clothed. And she would make sure that our needs were met. And I remember when I came to Perth and high school began, mum took a part-time job so that she could provide books for me. Because I was studying and I was doing well and she wanted to encourage me in my study and to pay for my time at university. That's my mum. How she served me. My mum, what she had to do so that I might be able to become an engineer that I became. And I can't help but think of all that is serving. It's serving, isn't it? And how lovely it is to serve. It really is. It's so special to serve one another. It's not just for women to serve. We're to serve each other. This is right across the board. And then we think of the greatest servant of all. Who is the greatest servant of all? Who's the one who has served us the most? It is the great King himself. It's even our Lord Jesus, who set that pattern when he came to this earth. Who said of himself, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give up his life a ransom for many." So even though it might sound like women are to be servants, we're all to be servants if we are followers of Jesus. But a woman has a very special role in being a servant because her serving is to serve her children and to serve her husband for the glory and honour of Christ. Okay, let's have a look now at the next few words. We're going to look at verses 23 to 26 of Proverbs 31. And it says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." Wow. Lots of good things there. But I want to highlight just one verse, verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. What's being pointed out here? She's not just a woman who supports her husband. She's not just a woman who serves her household. She's a woman who speaks. She speaks and she teaches. And that's a wonderful thing. Wow. It's one thing to be an excellent wife. It's another thing to be an extraordinary woman doing so much. But now I look at verse 26 and I think, this is even better than anything. This is exceptional. When a woman takes the time to speak into the lives of her children and to even speak good words to her husband to encourage him. It's so important that a godly woman, with the wisdom of God and with the word of God, that they speak into the lives of their family. It's so important. That's exceptional. That's how we should be. We should be exceptional. And you know, friends, I think that for women, even though it's a role that I had in my family to teach my children, the greater role of teaching actually falls upon your wife because they spend more time with their children. And how we need to make sure that we are spending time daily and regularly instilling into our lives good teaching. And that's not just about being moral and respectful. The most important thing of all is to teach the Word of God. And if you love the Lord Jesus, then you ought to be instilling into your hearts, mothers and grandmothers, you ought to be instilling into their hearts the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ. They should hear from your lips the love of God and how glorious our God is. That he should hear from your lips the glory of Christ and what he has done for them, for you, to save you. They should hear from you, they should hear from your lips, your children especially, how to be saved and what it means to follow Jesus, how to open your heart to him, how to pray and walk a life pleasing to him. Who should they hear it from? From a mother, from grandmothers. That's how it should be. Way back at the beginning of Proverbs, in chapter 1, in 8 and 9, it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Together it should be. In split homes, it might not be the case. And often a child is in the care of a mother more than a father, and how a mother needs to teach her children the ways of the Lord. Oh, may that happen. I can't help but think of the example also in the New Testament of Timothy. Do you know about Timothy's life? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." But then in chapter 3, 14 and 15, it says, "Continue, Timothy," Paul says to Timothy, "continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learnt them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Hear what Paul is saying? He had a grandmother and a mother who fed into him the sacred scriptures that he might come to know the Christ and be saved. Praise the Lord. That's a really important role. That's, you know, be an excellent wife, be an extraordinary woman, but be exceptional in teaching the things of Christ to your children. Now, I want to finish by saying to you all, there is a source to this woman. Well, let me read first of all verses 27 and down to 29, and then we're going to see the source of what makes this woman so amazing. It says in verse 27, "She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all.'" Isn't it lovely to be praised? And a godly woman, a godly mother, should be praised by her children and encouraged by her husband. Okay, but then it says in verse 30, "Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain." I'm just going to pause there. Man, that's what our world is a champion at. Charm and deception. Physical beauty, as if that's all it's all about. For a woman especially. how wrong it is. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's what's behind this woman. Why is she an excellent wife? Why is she exceptional in her teaching? Why is she extraordinary in her servant heart? Because she fears the Lord. Fear means to love the Lord, to revere Him, to honour Him, to come under Him. That's what it means to fear the Lord. It's not like living your own life, doing your own thing. It's like, Lord, I look to You. I bow myself before You, that You might lead me and direct me, that You might shepherd me, so that I might shepherd my family. This is the fear of the Lord. And not only do we have the fear of the Lord that should be operating in our lives so that we live these lives that are glorious to God, we have the grace of God that should also be motivating us to live a life pleasing to God. And I can't help but think of the words of the Apostle Paul, where he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." Do you understand that? That's the other big second driver of our life. The fear of the Lord, to revere Him and honor Him, and the grace that God has shown us should cause us to arise. And if we're a mother, to be a godly mother. If we're a father, to be a godly father. Whatever our station is, that we might live our life fully for the glory of our God. Oh, praise His name. And so you might be excellent wives, that you might be those who are extraordinary in the work you do in the strength of the Lord, that you might be exceptional in the way you teach and instruct your children, especially in the things of Christ, so that one day you might have the joy of having your children around the throne with you in glory. And I started off, that the heading of this sermon is The Blessed and Praised One. But I want to finish this morning by saying to you all, when I think of a title like that, The Blessed and Praised One, a mother doesn't come to my mind. The one that comes to my mind is God Himself. There is someone so much higher and greater than the best mother. There's someone so much higher and greater than the best father. And it is our God. He is truly the blessed and praised one. He is the one who is excellent. He is the one who is extraordinary. He is the one who is exceptional above any of us. He really is. And I want to just read some choice words from the Old Testament, where we read these words in Isaiah chapter 49, starting at verse 15. "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? And these may forget. But I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." What a God. He is exceptional. He is extraordinary. He is excellent. He is better than any mother. And He is better than any dad. In Psalm 103, 13 and 14, we read there, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust." What a tender God who understands our frame, our fallenness. Even this week, the things we do, the way we mess up, He's a Father who loves us to bits, who has great compassion for us. He is better than the best dad in the whole world. This is our God. And Psalm 103 begins with those great words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Yes, even on a Mother's Day, when we want to honour mums, and I want to honour my mum, we want to honour the Lord. He is above us all. He is most glorious and most beautiful. He is our God. And we can never be a decent mum or a dad unless He is our rock and our refuge. So we're going to sing a song now that's based upon Psalm 103. That's why I closed with that. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." There's 10,000 reasons and more to bless the Lord. Abounding in loving kindness, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love towards those who fear him. As a father, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God loves motherhood and fatherhood, but he is greater than all that. He is our inspiration. May we look to him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I know it feels so inadequate just saying that, but we really do. And I just feel so often words just fail to describe who you are to us. You are a God who is so amazing. We can talk about a woman who is excellent and extraordinary and all those words we can use, but there's no one like you. And we thank you, Father, for how you're such a God who is the lover of our soul, the God who has sought us and brought us into your family. And you've been a good, good Father to us. And we thank you for your Son, who is not only our King, but our older brother, who gave his life to save us, and who ever lives to intercede for us. We're so glad being in the best family. We can have some pretty rubbish families in this world that are so painful and hurtful, but thank you for your family. And Lord, thank you for those of us who've been blessed with good mums and dads. We thank you so much for that. And thank you for the blessing they have been, and for how, without any hypocrisy, we can rise up and say, blessed and praise be to them for what they've done in our life. And Lord, help us to be inspired to be people like that, who glorify your name, who fear your name, who live for you, who are motivated by your grace. I pray for every mother here, that they would be a good mother, doing all they can in a world that doesn't honour motherhood, that you would help them to be good mothers, mothers who love their children and care for them. Help them, Lord, in supporting their husbands and in serving their family and in speaking your truth into their lives. And I just pray that us men folk would do everything we can to encourage them and to praise them and to help them as well. Thank you for this special time that we've had, Lord. We thank you in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.